Good morning, everyone. Sorry, I've turned that light off because it's dazzling me. And so it's not. I'm not just trying to be difficult. Please take your seats. So whilst we're getting ready to start, just to say welcome to our service this morning. So welcome to everybody here. If you're a visitor, I hope you enjoy your chance to worship with us. Excuse me. And welcome to those that are on Zoom. I always forget the ones on Zoom now because I can't see them, but I know you are with us. Just one quick notice to remind you all that after the service this morning is a church meeting. I've got that right, I've got a church meeting. And that's in here. That'll be in here after the service. The idea is it hopefully won't take very long. But don't hold me to that. But you're welcome to stay and join us for that. Let's open our service together with a short prayer. Heavenly Father, once again we come into your presence, into this, your building. And we ask, Lord, that you would bless us as we worship. Help us to put aside the thoughts and worries of the past week and the concerns for the coming week. Help us to concentrate upon you. Help us to hear your voice and to go away from here feeling encouraged and ready to take the challenges of the week. We ask it in your name. Amen. Just to say, I have planned today's service that there's quite a lot of input from other people, which is good for you, and it's also good for me. So we're going to stand together. And we are going to sing our first hymn. All the words to the hymns will come up on the screen. But if you prefer to be using a book, then we're singing Songs of Fellowship, number 559, To God Be the Glory. And again, I have been reliably informed I will be tuned down so you don't have to listen to me singing. So let's stand together and worship.
Thank you.
take your seats. I want you to just consider, today I want you to just use your memories and think back to when you were a child. Think back to your upbringing. The relationship you had with your father. And for each one of us, that's different. I didn't know my father. My mum and my dad split up when I was about 18 months, 2 years old. So I didn't actually know my dad. And the man that I grew up calling dad was my stepdad, and he was only around until I was about 12 or 13. But when you think of your dad, or your father, however you would like to refer to him, was he, in your opinion, a good father or not a good father? So, did he do things that as you've grown up, you've wanted to include in your life? You've wanted to emulate in any way, shape or form? Maybe he was a father who was very, very handy and was always doing DIY or fixing the car or maybe pottering around in the garden. Or maybe he was a father who liked to watch the television and sat watching maybe James Bond or things on the TV that you used to think, please, can we not do this? Was he a father who was there when you wanted him to be around? Or was he somebody who was constantly working and maybe doing other things? Was he a father who demonstrated love and affection to you? Or was he a father who maybe you were a bit afraid of? My lasting memory of my stepdad was, without going into the complications of my family, when my mum and her decided that they were not good together. They were great friends, but they were not good together. Decided they were going to get divorced. I remember coming home, and we had a big red, I don't know whether you'd call it like a nursing chair, it was quite a big red thing with nice wide arms, and it was the most comfortable thing to sit in, made of horsehair and one of those old bits of furniture. I remember coming home and going upstairs, and he was sat in this chair, which happened to be my sister's bedroom, and he was crying. Now that's my lasting memory, because back in those days, men didn't cry. And I found that is imprinted on my brain. So what's your lasting memory of your dad? Was he what you would call a good dad or a disciplinarian dad? Was he somebody that you didn't really want to emulate in your life? Or maybe you wanted to get away from as you grew up? So what makes a good father? I think it's difficult for those of us who maybe haven't had a good father figure in our lives to become fathers, because we've got nothing to model it on. Most of the time we grow up and we think, I enjoyed that in my childhood, so I want to include that in the upbringing of my children. And then we look back and we think, I didn't enjoy that, so I don't want to include that. So I want you to keep thinking about that as we go through today's service, because we're going to be looking at those two different sides of the character of God a little bit later on. So we're going to do our second hymn. I'll say this as we go through. If you want to stand and sing, do. If you'd rather stay seated, you are welcome to stay seated and singing. So we're going to sing number 148, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah.
Thank you.
Just going to have, we've got three readings this morning, and the unusual thing I've done is I've actually included them all together. So Adrian's doing our first reading from here. Bernadette is going to do our second reading from down there. And Steve can choose whichever one he wants to do. So we're going to have our three readings.
First reading is from Isaiah chapter 5, verses 8 to 23. Doom to you who buy up all the houses and grab all the land for yourselves, evicting the old owners, posting no trespassing signs, taking over the country, leaving everyone homeless and landless. I overheard the Lord Almighty say, those mighty houses will end up empty. Those extravagant estates will be deserted. A 10-acre vineyard will produce a pint of wine, a 50-pound sack of seed, a quart of grain. Doom to those who get up early and start drinking booze before breakfast, who stay up all hours of the night, drinking themselves into a stupor. They make sure their banquets are well furnished with harps and flutes and plenty of wine, but they'll have nothing to do with the work of God, pay no mind to what he is doing. Therefore, my people will end up in exile because they don't know the score. Their honoured men will starve to death and the common people die of thirst. Sheol developed a huge appetite, swallowing people non-stop. Big people and little people alike, down that gullet to say nothing of all the drunks, the down and out on a par with the high and mighty. Windbag boasters crumpled, flaccid as a punctured bladder. But by working justice, the Lord Almighty will be a mountain. By working righteousness, holy God will show what holy is. And lambs will graze as if they owned the place. Kids and calves right at home in the ruins. Doom to you who use lies to sell evil, who haul sin to market by the truckload, who say, what's God waiting for? Let him get a move on so we can see it. Whatever the Holy of Israel has cooked up, we'd like to check it out. Doom to you who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness in place of light and light in place of darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Doom to you who think you're so smart, who hold such a high opinion of yourselves. All you're good at is drinking. Champion boozers who collect trophies from drinking bouts and then line your pockets with bribes from the guilty while you violate the rights of the innocent.
Protection, expecting to hide out in Egypt. Well, some protection Pharaoh will be, some hide out Egypt. They look big and important, true, with officials strategically established in Zorn in the north and Haynes in the south. But there's nothing to them. Anyone stupid enough to trust them will end up looking stupid. All show, no substance, an embarrassing farce.
Six to 12. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here am I." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings.
Thank you to the three of you who have done those readings for me. We'll come back to those in a little while. We don't pass the offering plate round at the moment. A lot of us give through directly through the bank, but there are offering plates. I see them on this front pew, and I think there are some at the back as well. If you want to give to the work of the church, then the plates are there. But let's thank God for our offerings this morning. Father, of everything that you have given us, of all the provisions that you have provided for us, we give this small token of our appreciation to you. We pray, as I always pray over the offering, that you would take it like you did the five loaves and the two fish, and you would bless it, and you would increase it, that it may be used for the work and to reach out to many thousands of people. We pray for the work of this church, that you would bless it in your name. Amen. Just to give your voices another bit of a stretch, we are going to sing hymn 147 from the Songs of Fellowship, "Great is Thy Faithfulness."
Faithfulness, O God, there is no shadow of the grave.
please take your seats. Heavenly Father, as we come around your word, I pray you would open our hearts to receive and our ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. We thought about our dads earlier on. Now I want you to think about God. What is your image of God? I think predominantly in the modern world, we like to talk about God as being a loving and forgiving God. And we quite like that because it's warm and comfortable. A God who reaches out his arms and accepts us for who we are in whatever condition we find ourselves. Who takes us and forgives the wrongs that we've done in our lives, be it to him or to other people. We use the word sin, or we don't often use the word sin in our modern world. But God forgives our sins, and it's wonderful, isn't it, to believe in a loving Heavenly Father. Over the next 4 weeks or so, we're going to be looking at different aspects of Isaiah. And I got this morning's, which was good cop, bad cop, sort of look at things. So I want you to think about when God chose the children of Israel to be his children, to be his people, to be the Israelites, he gave them a set of commandments. We call it the Ten Commandments. There were a lot more than that, but we refer to it as the Ten Commandments. And I always think that to be the people that God wants us to be, we should be striving to comply with the Ten Commandments. And if we want to go down them in order, well, we would never get past the first one. Because the first one is to love the Lord your God. Is to love God above everything else. Above family, above possessions, above your position at work, above your home and your car. Love God. Put God first over everything. So most of us, if we're honest, would fail on that first command. That's before we even start moving down to numbers 2, 3 and getting down to what we call the real serious nitty-gritty of thou shalt not murder and things like that. But God gave these commands because he wanted to give his children something to strive towards. And as he brought them out of Israel, as he brought them out of Egypt and took them on the journey to Israel, he gave them all sorts of other commands. All sorts of stuff like you're not allowed to wear clothes of mixed fibres, and you're not allowed to eat this animal, and you're not allowed to do this on a Sunday, and you're not allowed to touch that, and you know, all sorts of things that when we look at it today, we think, wow, a whole lot of commands. He was not really a very generous God, was he? Telling us not to do a lot of stuff, or to worship him on this day, and offer him sacrifices on that day, and take him a lamb on this one, and an ox on that one, and give him our firstborn, and you know, a whole load of commands. But these were things that God wanted his children to stand out from the rest of the world. These were the commands that he was giving his children to live by. And as they got to Israel, he said to them, you will... I was wondering what you were all looking at up there. It's me. that threw me. He said to them, as they got to Israel, he said, when you get into this land, you are not to allow the present occupants of the land to filter into your society. Because if you do, they will bring all sorts of problems with them. And he said, and if you do, and you start to follow these pagan gods, and you start to do all these rituals and all these things, then these things will happen to you. And God gave them a whole load of bad stuff that doesn't really fit in with what we would call a loving God. And this is our problem. We like God being a loving God, But when God becomes a God that demands justice, we have a problem with that. Our readings today, the first two, the word that stands out in that. Did we all catch the word that stood out? Doom! Doom to you who do this. Doom to you who do that. You're doomed. Do you remember Dad's army? We're all doomed. We're all doomed. Because without God, we can't make the grade. Without God, we don't stand a chance. We're all doomed. But God steps in. You can't have a loving God without having a God who demands justice and the right thing to be done. They've got to go hand in hand. Think again, like we did earlier on, about your own parents. You know, the best illustration I can think of, the best illustration I can think of, maybe it was just my parents who did this. Walk down the street and you've done something naughty and you get a... Did you get that? Or around the back of the head? Yeah? Then you come to a street and you're going to cross the road. And as a small child, what's the first thing you do? And you hold up their hand. They may well have just clouted you up the backside or clouted you around the ear. But the first thing as a child you do to your parents, you trust them for safety and security. And up goes your hand into theirs. And you hold on and you walk across the road. Because despite the fact that your parents would be disciplinarians, some stronger and worse than others in that case, we still love our parents and we still want to trust them. And that's what it's like with God. God is a God of justice and he's set down the rules and he said to us, this is the way I want you to live. This is the right way to live. We don't like this in today's society because today's society says, no, do whatever you want. Everybody's opinion matters and everybody can be what they want to be and do what they want to do. And as long as it doesn't hurt somebody else, what does it really matter? But God says, no, this is the people I want you to be. You are to be different to those around you. We're meant to stand out from society. So those first two readings we had, started with the word doom. It's really encouraging this morning, isn't it? Doom. You're going to go home today, we're going to, oh gosh, don't stand a chance. We're all doomed. I'm going back to that church. But the third reading that we had talks about, is this the kind of fasting I've chosen? It's much, much more positive. To loose the chains of injustice, to untie the cords of and yokes and set the oppressed free, to share your food with the hungry, to provide shelter for the wanderers, to clothe the naked. And it says your light will break forth. So when I was reading that and I was preparing this, I read that first bit and I was reminded of the words that Jesus said. And he unrolled the scroll in the temple. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has chosen me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind and to set the oppressed free. It's not all doom. We have a wonderful message that we talk about a Father God who loves us and encourages us and wants the best for us. But if we disobey him like any other father, we are going to get the other side of God. And that last one, that last hymn, wonderful chorus, isn't it? Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. I'm privileged. Most of my job's quite good. And at the moment, I worked last night, so I finished work this morning at about 7:15. And I'm working again tonight. I get to see the sunset and the sunrise. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. I see God's handiwork. It's like God painting a picture every morning. It's a different picture, and it's a wonderful blessing. And God does this because he loves us. God has reached out and sent Jesus to die for us. And that's our loving God. But if in sacrificing his son, he is not going to punish the things that we do wrong, then the sacrifice of his son was completely worthless. So in the same way that we had a father in our upbringing who loved us, but also disciplined us, it's what we have with God. You're not doomed. You were, but you're not. You have a hope because Jesus is our hope. So hopefully today you will go away from today with something more positive than somebody up the front here saying, you're all doomed. But you all have a hope, and that hope is Jesus. But it isn't just a case of saying, yes, I'm a Christian, I'll come to church, and that's wonderful, God will forgive me, now I can go and do what I like. Because if you don't read and understand and do what the scriptures say, then there's an element of us all being doomed. So as we're going to go through this month, we're going to see the different aspects of God in Isaiah. So hopefully today I've tried to explain to you that there is hope for each one of us and that God loves us. Our next hymn is My Jesus, My Saviour. Here is our hope. This is going to come through, it's going to come through on here on the YouTube, through the YouTube, and if you're using the books, it's number 935. So, My Jesus, My Saviour.
I want to praise.
Stephanie is now going to lead us in our prayers of intercession. Thank you.
Let us pray. For God be the glory and the great things you have done. Lord, we praise your name, for surely you are a great God. For with you, God, there is no darkness. Your character has no shadows, and you are pure and good. Yet at times we see darkness around us that we feel we cannot do anything about. We often feel frustration, but we know, Lord, as we faithfully serve you, there is hope in our hearts. For now, as we turn to you in prayer, we will find the hope that will raise our spirits. In this prayer time now, we pray for peace in Ukraine. We pray for the people of Ukraine who've lost relatives and friends, and also for the attack on Friday in the region of Odessa, where residential buildings and a recreation centre were among the places hit. We pray for our missionaries working there, not only in Ukraine, but also in other countries helping refugees. May God's strength and hope be with them and guide them to safety. We live in peace here, but we need also to pray for our country and those who guide it, so that they will see the light and hope that fills each one of us. May that light and hope also be with the street preachers, as they work each day to help and support. For those who lead our churches and those that lead us here, and for each and every one of us in this fellowship and the children. Also for the people who are lost and homeless, that they find the support they need for all those who support them. We pray also for your churches here, that God may bring life and light in Northampton, so that your light spreads around the world, that each one of us feel your light and hope, almost like a candle burning brightly in our lives. For as we feel that light in our lives, let us take a moment here now to be still and think about someone you know who needs your prayers, maybe through illness, loneliness, loved ones, or those lost and frustrated, or maybe even somebody you know that has come to God. Or perhaps we need a prayer for ourselves. So just for a moment now, in our hearts, let's just have a silent prayer. Lord, we gather your prayers together and pray that the Holy Spirit will work in our lives and bring your light, hope, and restoring presence to the dark and worrying places, not only in our lives, but in those who we pray for. For we know, Lord, that through your amazing grace, we are set free, and you will always be with us. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. As we sing our final hymn, Amazing Grace, we're going to sing the traditional version, not the one with the little chorus been added. And I want to try by doing, I love this song because A, it talks about God's amazing grace, and that's where our hope comes from. But I want to do it so that we sing accompanied by Janet on verse 1, and then verses 2, 3, 4 and 5 we sing it unaccompanied. Very adventurous of us. And then in verse 6 Janet's going to join us again on the organ. So let's stand together and sing Amazing Grace. To finish by saying the Lord's Prayer together, and then we'll say the grace to one another. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And share the grace with one another. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. As you go into this week, please take your seats. As you go into this week, please remember that we have a God who gives us hope. And the words I want you to take into the week: the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has chosen me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set the captives free. Amen.